Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome to Eddie's Wall. We are here in the beautiful Carlsbad, California, at the Transworld Snowboarding Massive Studios here. And today we have a very special guest, Mr. Travis Rice. Travis, how are you?
I couldn't be better, Eddie. I'm so excited to be down here, Eddie's Wall. I was wondering why you guys didn't hit me up last year. You guys had to wait till the second season.
Yeah, you know, we're just getting the more important people in the season two, so. No, just kidding. I don't know. Everybody knows by now, but the production value that goes into this and the work that go into these whole movies, I think, is unbelievable. I mean, before we get into some of these questions, just what is it overall, a general feel of working on a you know, snowboarding film of this magnitude?
I mean, look, it's truly grateful to be able to have the opportunity to actually have the time to put into a project like this. You know, a long lead project, being able to work with kind of our brothers in arms, you know, our crew is kind of what makes our project, the crew and the riders.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's incredible that we're able to spend the amount of time, you know, trying to capture and portray these, you know, epic places that we get to go spend time and try to decode on the snowboarding front.
Yeah. We were talking about just the amount of people and, you know, the amount of cameras and the production that goes into this. It's really crazy because normally when you go film in the backcountry, you'll have photographer, filmer, two or three riders. Very simple, basic, five people. Even that gets very stressful. But what is it like rolling into the backcountry with a crew of like 10 people or 15 people and you have all these trailers and you know, things, and like when you guys fly, you have 50 Pelican cases and stuff like that. I mean, what is that like?
It's a shit show, man. Straight up, it's a shit show.
Yeah.
It's a very different process. Like, yeah. I grew up, like, with simple filmmaking.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, right about now, I really miss it.
Yeah.
But, you know, our crew makes it. You know, inevitably, you know, It applies to us as well, the factor of, you know, any extra body, you know, it's added time, logistics, and trouble. And, you know, the biggest thing with this film is, you know, we brought all of this, you know, a lot of it somewhat new camera technology into the backcountry, which a lot of it is like studio equipment. A lot of it is like equipment that, you know, people are shooting major motion pictures on, where they have grip trucks pull up and, you know, craft services right over in the corner.
Yeah.
And our guys are, you know, lugging this stuff. You know, often it's like 1,000 pounds into the backcountry.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes 20 miles, various means. I mean, snowmobiles, for sure, quite a bit of it. And they're just badasses, man. Our crew are just badasses that are able to get it done.
Yeah. So what? One thing that comes to mind with that comes along with all of that is, again, when you're in the backcountry, you build a big jump or something, and then, or you're about to do a line, and you know you're standing at the top looking at this jump. Generally, as you're putting the finishing touches on it, the filmer just goes out, gets set up, and he's like, okay, I'm ready. And if they, you know, get stuck or something and they're taking extra long to get ready, it's really nerve-wracking because you're just like, oh, I just want to hit this jump and get it over with. And I mean, I can't imagine, like, what's the setup time like? Because I'm like thinking if you get kind of frustrated and anxious with just one cameraman or two, what's it like when you have all these crazy things going on, when they're like, oh, we needed to do like 5 run-ups and 3, and the, you know, is the wait time?
It's just daily practice and patience.
Yeah.
You got to be out there just like, it's all good. Sun's creeping.
Yeah.
3 hours of setup. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I mean, like, hurry up and wait is the name of the game for going out. And,
yeah.
You know, I've heard from a lot of people that filming snowboarding in the backcountry is literally one of the hardest things you could possibly shoot because, you know, we're so dependent on light. Like, for us, we don't want to shoot, you know, in cloudy light or bad light scenes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's being there at you usually have a couple hour window, right? And I think for us, you know, we had the amount of time to really learn our own process and how much time it takes us. And so, I mean, we had a lot of days that we were leaving the trailhead at like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, where you're going out in the dark. And the other factor for us using the kind of arsenal of equipment that we're using is, you know, the day and age of just ripping out and finding something and shooting it, like, ah, oh, that looks pretty cool. Nice, let's do it.
Yeah.
That's not, we can't really do that.
Right.
So we're going in, you know, days beforehand, figuring it out, right. setting it up, and then we build out a whole production plan because we have, you know, sometimes upwards of 15 people, like, going in.
So you'll actually have a production plan going out into the backcountry, just to, who's going to be doing what and setting up where. And
there's literally an emailed, like, 2 to 3 page, like, production plan of who's doing what, making sure that people bring the right equipment.
Oh my gosh, that
because
is gnarly.
There's just so much gear. Like, yeah. It's the only way to get efficient.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's like being on a real movie movie set, you know?
Yeah, we're pretending that it's a real movie.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, I mean, it looks pretty damn legit. Okay, well, let's go into some questions. Like I said, this is all about you guys watching live. If you're just tuning in, watching Eddie's wall down in Carlsbad, California at the Trans World Snowboarding Studios. We have Travis Rice here, snowboarding icon, rock star, uber pro, if you will. So, and again, write in your questions. We'll answer them live. Let's just start rattling through some of these. We have L. Van Vieren. When is the release date? Now, I know that there's, you guys are trying to figure that out, but we did talk about when you are doing a world premiere.
Yeah, well, we're still debating. We're considering pushing it back another year.
Okay.
We've come this far.
Why not?
What's another year?
Yeah.
But we're probably not. It's going to be October 2nd is when we're going to play this bitch live to the world.
Cool.
Yeah,
October 2nd. So this fall, look forward. Tyler Feig, what location did you enjoy the most while filming? You know, maybe what country or mountain?
You're not going to like this answer, Tyler. But, you know, we were able to do a lot of work out in Wyoming, which I live out in Jackson Hole. And there's something just so nice about waking up in your own bed and going out and doing this stuff. I mean, we got to travel to some pretty incredible places, and they were fantastic in their own right. But straight up, man, filming at home, there's nothing like the backyard.
Yeah, and that's pretty rare. That's pretty rare when I was always jealous of the Finnish guys who were filming street rails, and then they could go home and sleep in their own bed. I was like, oh, that's amazing. Let's see. Jay Burgess, what's the biggest thing to expect from the fourth phase?
It's the biggest thing to expect. You know, I think, first off, expectations are just a setup. So please, walk in with no expectations. you know, I think the biggest thing, you know, maybe I would throw out as a caveat is, you know, this film, we set out to try something different. It by no means is necessarily The Art of Flight 2. It's a different type of film. That was, you know, I don't think we were ready to even try and make this movie. You know, it's taken my 15 years of experience along with the crew that's behind this film, I think, to kind of prepare to try to do the film that we're working on right now.
Perfect. Also, just so you guys know, before I forget, we have 5 Travis Rice covers here for Transworld Snowboarding magazines. Travis is going to autograph these live. And then we are going to do a little trivia question for you guys. And the first person to answer the question in the comment boards is going to win a copy. We'll get in touch with you and ship it to your house so that you can frame it or, you know, put it on the back.
As well as a secret prize.
Yes.
Ooh. That's undisclosed at this time.
Wow. Okay. We have a secret prize coming as well. All right. Let's go back to some of these questions we have. Jake P., how many cheeseburgers can you fit into your mouth?
That one's easy. I think about 24 of those little Haribo cheeseburgers, you know, the gummy cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah.
I bet
how many?
Probably 20 to 24.
24?
I think so. I mean, they're only like this big.
Yeah, they're pretty small. Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. There's your answer, 24. Let's see. Will you be doing a world premiere tour again by Hugh Bachman? Bachamp? Bachamp?
Hugh, what up? Yes. I mean, come on. You got to do... We're going to do a tour. We're going to be putting it up. You probably find it on Red Bull's... It's going to go up on Facebook. Or we're going to put out a trailer. See, what you watched earlier was a teaser. Later this summer, we're going to drop our trailer. And when we do that, we'll also be dropping all the information on...
Tour dates, stuff like that.
The whole tour.
Perfect.
Tour dates. And yeah, get the know. I mean, we've got some pretty... We got some epic spots, and you know, if you want some more information too, you can just go to thefourthphase.com. because that's got pretty much all the information on it. So keep on fourthphase.com.
Yeah.
We'll get you laced out.
Mike Zochaff, he asks when it's going to be released. I think a lot of people are wondering this. Go to fourthphase.com. That's where all the info will be. But basically this fall for a rough date. Jordy Daniels, when is the new movie coming out this fall? Chaz Truslow, will the fourth phase have any rail riding in it? That's a pretty good question.
No.
All right. No rail riding. Which is
no rail riding.
You know, I think that most people would agree, and obviously no disrespect to rail riding. That's what I did a lot of. But I think as you ride, and maybe the older you get and the more... I just feel like it is the transition goes, like a lot of people kind of start in small half pipes and go to jumps and rails in the park, and then they go to backcountry riding, mm-hmm. and then they go from backcountry jumps into, you know, bigger free riding, like riding lines in Alaska and stuff. And I remember as a kid thinking, like, oh, hitting a handrail is so much more gnarly than riding a line, because you just see a big open white face and powder. And I was like, oh, no big deal. But I think anybody who has been able to experience those mountains realizes that it is the scariest thing in the world.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that's one of like the most fantastic things about snowboarding is that it's so like multidimensional, right? I mean, I love jibbing.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, we jib together.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
That's freaking Parts that came out. I saw a little jib segment in it. And I think the reason really that there is not any jibbing in the film is, you know, quite frankly, you know, this movie, it's about this kind of backcountry exploration. It's about following a hydrological cycle, which I think we'll get into a little later. And yeah, it just wasn't what we were focused on.
Cool. Sean Theodore, what is the future of snowboarding? What needs to happen to keep it authentic?
Well, I think, you know, I'm almost at a point where I like to like pass that question off on to the next generation. I mean, all I know is that it's in good hands. It's in really good hands. You know, you watch all the up-and-coming riders, and I mean, A, the talent and level of skill and technicality is just, it's mind-boggling. And, you know, I think one of the worst questions out there is, you know, like, can it get any crazier? Like, where's it going to go from here? Right. How can it go any further? And it's just, it's silly because, you know, when I was a young guy and I was looking up, you know, watching these films, you know, reading the mags, you know, you set this baseline of like, oh my God, like this is what these guys are doing.
Yeah.
And you strive for that.
Yeah.
And then there's a certain point where, you know, that impressionable for me, you know, got to a point where, all right, wow, I'm doing this like with these peers that I look up to. And then, and then you kind of take it and make it your own and push it as much as you can. And inevitably that cycle is just, it keeps going. I mean, kids that watched our movies when they were young, you know, that are riding now and have already like far surpassed what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, hands down. So.
Yeah. No, that's a good question. Logan Dyer, how exhausted are you after this, you know, long, this is a long project.
Yeah, it's a long project. You know, I don't think exhausted is the term I would use because coming out of it feeling, a little more satiated. It's like if you got a good night's rest and then mid-afternoon you had like a really big meal.
Yeah.
And you're sitting back, you know, you're not really like feeling like a nap.
Yeah.
But you're feeling like kind of taking a little time off. I'm in that little kind of siesta phase at the moment where I'm looking forward to not working on such a, you know, long lead project. Mm-hmm. But I'm hungry as ever to go snowboarding this morning.
Speaking of taking a little bit of a break and things like that, in the teaser we saw, and maybe, you know, if you follow Travis's Instagram, you have seen it, but I see you have a pretty badass sailboat. tell us a little bit about your sailboat.
Well, the sailboat, she's a beaut. It's actually it's a catamaran, sailing cat, and, you know, I've sailed for the last, I don't know, 15 years, and it was always a dream of mine to actually kind of take the reins, get my own boat because I really wanted to sail into the Pacific. I grew up sailing in the Bahamas and Caribbean, and for me it's been a very, like, that's like my summers,
right,
and kind of my off time,
right,
when I'm not riding. It's getting to spend time on the boat, and you know, it's actually really similar to snowboarding, even though it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But the approach is completely the same in the sense that, you know, we go out in the backcountry. And usually you're with, you know, a tight-knit group of your friends,
yeah,
and you're kind of at the mercy of your own decision-making. And, you know, the freedom that comes with that, the responsibility that comes with that. Because really, freedom is full responsibility. Yep. So that's what I find in sailing.
That's amazing. Have you ever gotten into any hairy situations with like big seas or?
I've been in the shit a few times. You know, when some storm comes in middle of the night, and all of a sudden you realize that your, you know, boat's dragging anchor towards a kind of exposed reef, and there's waves, and it can get hairy. But I mean, whatever. The ocean is unforgiving. You have to give her some respect.
What's one of the cooler places you've sailed, or what are some of the areas you've sailed?
Well, I got to sail the Caribbean, and a few years ago sailed actually down through the Panama Canal out in the Pacific, and sailing across the Pacific was incredible.
So and, where did you go from where to where?
Went through the Panama Canal.
Okay.
Cruised out like Galapagos and went all the way out to Tahiti.
Wow.
Galapagos was the shit because we scored some pretty good waves there. And the flora and fauna, all the creatures running around.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a dream, like high five seals. And
that's amazing, yeah. Okay, back to snowboarding. Back to your questions. Again, if you're just tuning in, Eddie's Wall with Travis Rice here at the Transworld Snowboarding Studios. Alexander Lone Reese, musically, what can we expect from this film? The trailer music, Return to the Sky, was amazing.
Look, you can expect some highs, some lows. Like, expect a little metal. A
couple snares.
Expect a little introspective, thought-provoking tunes. Here's one of the cool aspects of the film is we really wanted to do a little bit more work with some custom music, and so there's actually a lot of custom tracks we work with various artists on. Primarily the artist Kishibashi. Kishibashi actually came on board with us and is doing quite a bit of our score. It's not a fully scored film,
right?
But he is doing a lot of like connective tissue for us, and it's been amazing working with him. He's a super gifted artist, if you don't know him already, Kishibashi. And next week, actually, hope to be going out to New York, and he's doing full symphony like record of like all the music that he's written for the film. So the soundtrack to the film is going to be, it's going to be pretty catered to our piece.
Very nice, very nice soundtrack. Chris Mann, favorite resort in Utah. Well,
Chris Mann, favorite resort in Utah?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm so glad you asked me, because honestly, my favorite aspects about Utah is that it's only about a 4-hour drive up to Jackson Hole. Badass. No, I mean, whatever. When it snows, it's on a snowbird.
Cool. Rebecca Price, what did you learn by growing up in Jackson?
What did I learn? I learned a lot of lessons of how to answer politely questions from tourists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think most of all, I got to spend a lot of time outdoors, which, you know, when you grow up, you don't know. It's your own reality, right? So you don't know any different. But
yeah.
I think getting a little older and traveling some more, you know, became much more appreciative of actually growing up and having access, spending time in, natural spaces.
Let's see. Yeah. All right. Chris Hughes, why is it called the fourth phase? Chris Hughes, great question. Because I don't know that. I don't know this.
Well, you know, it happens to be our fourth film. Community Project. We did That's It, That's All. And then did the Red Bull Art of Flight, the last film. But that's actually not why it's the fourth phase. That actually literally came afterwards. We were like, oh, bonus.
Right.
look, the film is a lot about following the path of water, and water being a substance that so many of us, you know, kind of considering ourselves hydrologists in our own sense.
Yeah.
And I think a few years ago came across some research in a TED talk by this guy, Dr. Gerald Pollack, who put out a book called The Fourth Phase, which in it he gets into the fact that, you know, there's been all these anomalies in science and the study of water that have never been able to be solved. And he kind of dug into it, spent about 15 years working on this, and figured out that, you know, there is this fourth state of water. And with this fourth state of water brings a lot of explanation to why our natural world works so well, and also kind of some of the mysteries around life itself.
Wow.
It's pretty incredible. If you want to learn a little bit more, please do go check out Jared Polak's TED Talk. It's been cool working with him, but that was kind of the inspiration.
Awesome.
For the film.
That's amazing. Sage Kotzenberg. Oh, I've heard of this guy before.
Sage who?
Pretty sure he's a gold medalist. Would you rather take a bird bath from Halldór Helgason or have to refilm all of the fourth phase again?
You know, I think I would definitely refilm the fourth phase again. Straight up.
You're like, it's coming out in 2020, folks.
I mean, look, one thing to remember is that, you know, for us, it's the process, right? Like, it's great to be able to, like, you know, seal this up and put it out and share it with all of you. But, you know, for us, we love the process. We love, like, the ability to go out and spend the time in the backcountry. And it's hard. It's challenging. But at the same time, like, you know, everyone's there because they would rather be doing nothing else. And it's been a beautiful few years. So, yeah. And I don't know where the bird bath. I can just see Halldór freaking dip in the teddies and the, well, I don't bird bath of that guy.
Let's see. Michael Ness. How much control do you have over the full film? Do you have a final cut? And do you direct any of the editing? That's a great question.
It's a great question. You know, inevitably, I have quite a bit of directorial power, if mm-hmm. you will. But the nice thing with our project is that we really have a great team. Mm-hmm. So by no means is it this kind of iron fist thing. You know, there's a lot of like-minded individuals working on the project. You know, our director for this movie is a guy by the name of Jonathan Klakowicz, who we worked with for years. And we just got such a solid team that, you know, when we sat down and, you know, yeah, people don't always see eye to eye, but, you know, we all know that, you know, everyone's got the best interest of the film in trying to convey the story that we've been working on for this long. So it's really actually quite a collaborative project. And quite frankly, you know, working with Red Bull Media House and the team there, especially this guy named Ben Bryan, who kind of runs the films there, has been he's been an asset.
Okay. Matt Guilfoyle is Mark Landvik in the fourth phase. I know he released a YouTube video. He said he was going through some stuff. I remember that, very emotional. Mm-hmm. Hope he's doing awesome.
Yeah. Oh, Lando's solid, man. Lando is absolutely a staple in the fourth phase. It wouldn't be the same film without him, you know?
Cool. Who else is in it while we're on that subject? A couple other writers?
Yeah, a couple other tight-knit cast. No, you know, Pat Moore.
Yep.
Right? We got Mikkel Bang. We even had, like, you know, Bodie Merrill. And we had, let's see, when it was with us, Eric Jackson came out for quite a bit of it. Victor De La Rue spent a fair amount of time with us. I mean, Brian Noguchi, of course.
Yep. Cool.
And there's a couple other ones that I'm not going to throw out there either.
Very solid cast.
Yep.
Jesse Wright Burtner. Travis, if two choppers are filming a third and they are an hour and a half from an uncharted mountain isthmus and half of the fuel from one third of the choppers was forgotten by Greg Wheeler and two riders on the hashtag horsepower boards, but two are on hashtag firepower boards, how many crepes do you need to survive and make it back for the hashtag American Ninja Warrior?
Well, let's break this down. Okay, so American Ninja Warrior is on 8 o'clock.
Yep.
So assuming that, you know, you're actually seeing it on the same day.
Yeah.
It depends on how, you know, it's not quite specified. Let's just say it's 10 miles back, right?
Yeah.
So two people are going to be left. To travel 10 miles, let's say, in snowy conditions, it's a lot harder in dry conditions. We're just going to call it waist-deep snow. That's going to take you probably about 18 hours.
Yeah.
So two people, 18 hours... I'm going to go ahead and say 6 crepes.
There we go. That's 6 crepes.
6 crepes.
Great question, Mr. Burtner.
The one thing, the caveat that wasn't in there, though, is that the LibTech boards are so non-toxic that if you had to, you could literally break them open and
eat the core.
So there's a chance it actually nullifies any crepes being needed.
Nice. Edward Michael, favorite snowboard legend? That's
I mean, favorite snowboard legend, I don't know. For me, it'd be Brian Iguchi, just because, you know, I grew up in Jackson, and a lot of the guys I looked up to was in my own little microcosm.
Yep.
You know, guys like Lance Pittman, you know, Brody Dowell. And so I think those were the guys that I, you know, really looked up to when I was young.
Awesome. Michael Smotrich. Mike McCullough? Michaela? That's a tricky name.
Smotrich, what up?
Anyways, who is your favorite female snowboarder?
Man, I think Robin Van Zandt or Van Gien, sorry. Hannah Beeman. Dude, Hannah Beeman
at
is
high
probably
beams.
My favorite.
Yep.
Mary France Roy.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm really stoked to see the new Full Moon Project coming out this fall.
Yeah, that'll be great. We had
those Liam Pelosi's there in here.
Yep, they came in.
Yeah.
Yep, it was great.
I'm excited to see the project they're working on.
Cool. Holden Barth, funniest thing that you saw Pat Moore do while filming in the Jackson Hole backcountry?
It's an easy question, because literally, if you just look at Pat Moore, it's really funny. Like, I just crack up, especially when he's just, you know, bearded and bitter.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But just Pat. Whenever Pat's not trying to be funny, he's extremely funny.
That's a great answer. If you're just tuning in, you're watching Eddie's Wall. We're here at the Transworld Studios live with Travis Rice. Comment your questions. We'll answer them here if we're able to get to them. And also stick around, because very soon Travis is going to be signing some of his latest cover with Transworld Snowboarding. He's going to sign them live, and then we are going to ask you guys some trivia questions, and the first people to comment in the right answer is going to win. We'll send it to your house. You can hang that up on your wall. It's going to be amazing. Let's see. Stephen Leonard. Almost every snowboard film I see is all, we're in the backcountry shooting this epic jump on this huge mountain, yada, yada, yada. Do you ever get tired or bored of shooting these same kind of films, and do you ever want something different?
It's a great question. Yeah, I think it was Einstein who said, you know, when you do the same thing over and over, it's the definition of insanity. And I'm right there with you. I mean, quite frankly, like, that's why we have kind of changed up how we go about doing this over the years. I mean, you know, I that's why I loved about being able to be, like, contest rider and going and filming.
Yep.
That process. And then, you know, we did the community project 2006 or something. And that was kind of our first stab at actually making our own film. It was myself, Kurt Morgan, and Rich Goodwin. And we wanted to do a film based around the session.
Yeah.
You know, not just broken into these, like, individual segregated segments.
Yep.
And that was the whole premise of the film, was just, you know, no one needs to put money in for the film, because we got it funded, and show up as many people as we could get, and it's just a party.
Yeah.
And so, you know, from that film, we've, you know, each film changes a little bit. And to answer your question, bring it wrap around right to the fourth phase, which is kind of why we're here.
Yep.
I implore you to come check it out. Hopefully it answers your request.
All right. Mike Forrester, the question is, where is your favorite place to go in the off season, and why is it Marquette, Michigan?
It's a great question. Marquette, Michigan is a fantastic little chunk of terrain in northern Michigan.
Okay.
Beautiful, up on Lake Superior. I don't know. Northern Michigan is, it's kind of like the Yosemite of the Midwest.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, that's a good definition.
It's just, there's some incredible wild spaces up on Lake Superior. I actually, we got a little cabin up on Lake Superior up there, and I've gone for better part of most summers of my life, fishing, mountains. Flora and fauna up there, some real weird shit. You ever heard of a Newman wasp?
No.
Dude, it's a wasp. It's like this big, and the stinger is this long. There's what? All kinds of, like, these weird creatures that live up in northern Michigan.
Okay, I'm not trying to hang out there. Brad Harmon, what do you do to keep your knees and your back good? Great question.
Great question. You know, it's kind of a multifaceted approach, Brad. You know, stay hydrated. You got to give a shit what you put in your body. You are what you eat, literally. And then, I mean, you got to take it serious. If you, you know, if you want to go through a whole season, stay healthy, it's all about, you know, the most you can ride.
Yep.
And being in a healthy place to be able to ride. And so that's why I think we take it, you know, somewhat serious and, you know, doing a bit of a regiment before the season, and then also, you know, stretch, do yoga, roll out, be proactive. I mean, it's about movement and mobility.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't use it, you're going to lose it straight up. So,
Jeff Pensiero, what's up, Jeff? What hair products are you endorsing these days? And what do you think about Eddie Wall becoming a bald faced tail gunner, at Baldface?
Okay. I'm going to go from the tail of that question, as in I'm incredibly excited about you being a tail gunner.
Yes.
I want to know which trips you are going to be working this coming season at Baldface so I can book.
Yes.
Because shit books up quick there.
Yes, it does.
And then last but not least, I'm glad you asked. Actually, Jeff Pensiero has been working on a hair product. So last year they introduced Baldface Bacon. That was like, that was their next big thing. Their next big like gift to the entire snowboarding community was, it was Baldface Bacon. They started this bacon project. Throughout it, they ended up finding out that you end up with all this bacon fat, right?
Yeah.
And they felt bad about, they had too much bacon fat. They didn't know what to do with it all. So they realized that it was a fantastic emulsifier in what is now being put into a hair product. And I don't think it's named yet, but it's true. I mean, you remember in like Fight Club?
Yeah, that's the first thing. The soap, I was like, of, like, oh, Tyler Durden. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, turns out that bacon, and specifically the type of bacon they're making up at Baldface,
yeah,
happens to be fantastic in keeping shit fresh. Getting a swoop, the right amount of hold and body.
All right. Well, great question, Jeff. And yes, I will happily come to Baldface anytime.
He's so shameless about it. He's been plugging his own products.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Simon, John, Knowles. Travis, who is your favorite superhero?
Superhero? Captain Planet.
Okay.
You remember that guy?
Yeah. He was like, let's save our planet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's not really a more noble cause.
How more badass is that?
Yeah.
You know, all these other superheroes, it's just like,
no,
saving humanity.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
all this
and
bullshit.
Like, dude, I remember the Batman versus Superman, and they got into a fight in like New York City, and they would like punch each other, and he'd like go through like 9 skyscrapers, and I'm at the end of the movie, they're like, oh, I finally won, like humanity, and I'm like, you just leveled an entire city and probably killed like a million people. Like,
yeah,
what
dude,
type of a superhero are you?
Captain Planet, man, he's like fighting the polluters. Everyone's always trying to dump shit in the rivers. And
yeah, I like that. Okay. Billy Anderson, what's up with Ultra Natural?
Dude, it's a great question, Billy. So here's the deal. We did Supernatural.
Yes.
Right? Then we did Ultra Natural.
Yes.
And
next you're going to do Super Ultra Natural.
Yeah. And
Super Ultra Mega Natural.
Look, so we've back to the drawing board. I've been working with Red Bull on this. They've been a, you know, huge part of doing these events. And there may or may not be another iteration coming soon.
Cool.
Stay tuned.
You could call it Super Unnatural, and then everybody has to ride Switch Dance. Remember, like, Unnatural? That's the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, Ultra Natural. Yeah. It's going to be good.
Travis Rice, you just commented. How does it feel to have the best name ever?
I'm so glad
you
asked.
Who's logged into your Facebook right now?
it's actually feels really good. I think that there isn't another name I would rather have.
Yeah.
I just want to give a shout out to my parents, Paul Rice, Becky Rice. You guys are the shit. Thank you for naming me Travis and Rice. I mean, there's not a more solid last name.
Yeah. I like it. Let's see. Jeff Spearman, have you ever had your appendix taken out? Currently happening. And this live feed makes the hospital way better. You both kick ass. Oh, hey, thanks, Jeff. And
dude,
hope you heal up soon.
Straight up, man. I have not had my appendix out.
Neither have I.
But I still think you're allowed to eat ice cream and Jell-O, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Happy healing, man.
Yeah, heal up. And you don't need your appendix. That's for, like, birds. They eat, like, a lot of seeds and stuff or something.
Yeah.
Humans, we don't need that. Cheeseburgers and french fries. Who needs your appendix?
I mean, lighten the load. Your, like, mass to muscle ratio just went up. You, in theory, will be able to jump higher, perform better.
Okay, Colin D. Watt, what was the best day of snowboarding for yourself during the film of the fourth phase with no GoPros, no Cineflex, no red cameras, no photos, just soul riding? We all know that everybody needs those days.
I think without a doubt, being able to, you know, we try our hardest to get the crew riding.
Yeah.
And there's a couple times, one of which in Alaska, we had, you know, like a half day of just riding.
Yep.
Because of weather. And like, not because,
because of weather, for all the sponsors out there. Yeah, we usually just take the heli up for a couple days at a time when it's sunny and just spin some laps. No cameras.
I mean, look, warm-up is a part of the process, right?
Of course, yeah.
No, but
and
I think...
sanity, you know? You just need to get some good yeah. turns out there, you know?
I mean, look, every one of our guys on crew is a rider. And... you know, ultimately, we're there. We're putting ourselves through all this
yep.
because we love to be out in the backcountry, and you know, we make it a point to always make sure that we get some warm up runs in and get some free riding, because otherwise, what's the point? You know?
Yeah. What's the in point? I'll tell you what the in point is. Okay. Well, what kind of cameras do you guys use, Trevor Nelson?
We use big, cumbersome cameras. No. So there's a lot of cameras that were used over the making of this film. Primarily red cameras, I'd say. Most of it was shot red epics.
Yep.
But we also use Phantom 4K. Also, you know, you remember all the aerials that kind of made our last movies famous. We all those were always shot on a system called Cineflex. Now, the new hot shit system is called Shotover.
Oh.
And so the Shotover camera, I think it kind of went public maybe a year or two ago, and the old camera was a two-axis gimbal. The new camera is a three-axis gimbal, so you're able to actually like pan down, do whatever. There's no limitations with what you can do with it.
Right.
Now, the first year of filming, we actually had their prototype cameras and were using and putting them through the ringer. And, you know, as well as they worked, using prototype anything
yep.
is a real pain in the dick. because we did use a lot of prototype, a lot of cameras for this film. And that's part of the process, right? Working the kinks out. So yep. we're really glad that we could have been right there working the kinks out. But we had a lot of support from, you know, from Red, from Shotover. You know, quite frankly, the new Hero 4 GoPro.
Yeah.
Really glad that it came out and yeah. we were able to use it for the last 2 years, because yeah. it's phenomenal, actually, yeah. how well the image holds up.
Yeah.
It's like insane. Compared to all these, you know, $100,000 camera systems. Right. And, you know, we got to work with Movi, which is a stabilized camera system. And then as far as the technology piece, you know, running into post, we're working closely with Dolby.
Yep.
Both Dolby Atmos and also Dolby they've got a whole department on picture, fine tuning, color.
Yep.
It's going to look and sound great.
Okay.
Please don't watch it on your iPhone with it stuck halfway in a glass to amplify the sound.
Tyson Vanderby, do you have a hard time keeping your pants up with how big your balls are? Speculation, of course, judging by the type of shit you hit.
Actually, no. I don't have that issue. I'm quite frankly, I'm really thankful that my mother and father gifted me with really small balls.
Yeah. Balls are annoying. Like, big balls would be so annoying.
I can imagine.
You know?
No, just you freaking weird... knuckle and yeah, like slam your balls on your snowboard.
Yeah.
No,
thank you. You do a tuck knee, you're just squeezing them.
Yeah, man. I keep that shit high and tight. Right?
All right, well, hey, if you're just tuning in, you're watching Eddie's Wall at the Transworld Snowboarding Studios, and we're here with Travis Rice, snowboarding pretty much, I don't know, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say one of the best snowboarders in the world, if not ever, to live, I think. So, good guy right here. And a great human being, just a good all-around guy.
Look at this, man. Well, yeah. Thank you, man. I'm blushing.
So, you know what? We have a ton of questions here. We're going to try to get a few more, but before we do that, we are going to start with the giveaway. So... why don't you first, right now, sign some of these covers. Let's just sign. We'll do them one by one. Let's sign this cover. And this is where I'm going to go onto this other feed here to make sure I can see you guys commenting in. And Travis can see. So, let's see here. How do I do this? Oh, here we go. Okay. What Ready. So this question is for all you guys out there watching this. What snowboard video featured Travis's very first video part? First person gets this signed Transworld cover.
We're talking first, like, legit one.
Yeah, not like just a little.
Yeah,
if not you, like if his you were, crappy parts that, you know. No,
if you were in my high school TV class, and that'd be seventh grade, and you happened to witness what happened there,
yeah,
it's not the answer we're looking for.
Okay, so yeah, we're looking. Trav Dog, hook it up. Tony Phillips. Transcendence, Jaden Heiss. Was it Transcendence?
Yes, it was Transcendence. He just heisted himself a copy, signed copy.
Okay, well then there we go.
Easy. Yeah, Transcendence, Justin Hosnick. That was, I was so hyped to be, I found my way into that film project somehow.
Yeah.
Because a guy from Jackson, Rich Goodwin.
Yep.
And Brian Iguchi dragged me down to Super Park that year. And ended up having a little bit of a breakthrough, and literally in the month of May was asked if I wanted to try to film a part. Went up to Alaska, first time kind of in Alaska, just me and this filmer.
Yeah.
And ended up getting first part in that film.
Well, there
thanks,
you go.
Thanks, Hosnick.
Mr. Heiss, you just won the first Travis Rice signed Transworld Snowboarding cover. Let's go to question number two. Yes. You gotta, can we zoom in on this cover here? This is this is Mr. Heiss's cover. He gets a good one. There it is. Little balls, high performance. That's amazing. Okay, so, which one should we do next?
How about, let's give another little, like, techie one.
With this?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a pretty tech one. Last trick. What was the last trick, the last banger trick in The Art of Flight? So, let's see. Check these comments here. Do you know how to view all the comments? Because I'm only seeing...
Yeah, you just click view all.
Where?
I actually don't know where that button is, but it should be a button that says view all.
Those are the shares.
Triple core, triple core. Come on, man. This is like 5 years ago, people.
Triple cork.
Double cork 1080.
Oh.
Double cork 1080. Switch back side 1080. Saw back double 10. I think, I don't know, man.
I mean, it's
not spelled right, but if you can go down just a little bit, I think that was it.
Dude.
It was Swaback. Swaback double cork 10.
Swaback?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can... We're just trying to... You know,
we're having some technical difficulties. We got so many amazing answers that...
Okay, well, it was... Do you want to just say what it was, and then we'll go...
It was a switchback side double 10.
Okay, perfect.
we're gonna look back and find who that was. We're going to give it to you for swab back dub 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that you knew what you're talking about.
Okay, so now, next trivia question. So we have given away two covers. We have three more to go. First person, two. Oh, this is a good one. This is pretty hard, but this is pretty rad. What did Travis apprentice for when he was a bit younger? What did he apprentice for? So I'll give you a hint. It has nothing to do with snowboarding.
See, this is one that I'm gonna just see some of these answers.
Yeah, so let's go through some of these. Hey, Calf, do you know how to open up more of these answers? Because we only see like three or four. You could come on set for a second here.
Yeah, by the way, I just want to throw it out. I'm totally impressed with the scene here. All right, we got, 20 people? I'm counting 20 people behind four cameras. We got, you know, roamer. We got double angle. We've got screen. We've got all our streaming analytics, how many people are watching online.
Yeah.
You've got your CNN news feed in case anything does happen, you can cut to it.
Yeah. If you've ever seen like the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, it looks like that just on the other side of this.
Yeah, I wish I could show you what I'm seeing right now. It's fantastic.
Okay, so here we go. Sailing, plumbing, metalwork. This is to see who is what ranch
handling
work.
Handling horses on a ranch.
Oh, so here we go. Look at this. Okay.
Boom. Truck
driver.
Oh,
wow. They're coming in fast. Do they just...
Electrician.
attorney, hot dog fishing. Standing.
Butcher.
Plumbing, welding, carpenter, fishing, butcher, carpenter, brokerage, ski patrol, lumberjack, cabinet maker. These are all extremely good, but nobody's got it yet. Dinosaurs. That's like almost that. Like that's almost the closest in a way. Havoc.
It is, man.
Truck driver, carpenter, 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 electrician, welding, welding, carpenter.
It's got something to do with birds. How's that?
There we go. It has something to do with birds.
Oh. Dude, would it be too much to ask for like a quick whistle sig? This guy has the most phenomenal.
That's because my apprenticeship was being a janitor, so you learned to whistle really good. It has to do with birds. Come on, people. Let's keep it coming.
And the answer is not peanut butter.
Handling horses on a ranch, if you know what I mean.
You know, had I actually had that job that you're hinting at, I hear that's really good money.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, semen extraction on the horse ranch.
Oh, that's what he's talking about. Handling a horse, you know, a little fondle there. Well, I don't get it. Are the comments still coming in? All right. Well. Should we tell them? This is a hard one. All right, we're just gonna tell you guys, and then we'll ask another question to give this away. But all right, do you want to give it away? It has to do with like.
First, no. When I was younger in high school, I got to spend a summer, about 6 months, apprenticing underneath a master falconer. I was super into birds. Kind of thought I was gonna go into the ornithology field, and I mean, what's not cooler than birds of prey?
Yeah, that's right? True. Killing birds, just killing little animals.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
And it was actually kind of wild because I lost touch with the guy who I was doing it with.
Yeah.
And then about 10 years later, I was in Park City. I think it was Sundance Film Fest, and I was walking around. I look in this window and I see this guy in leather, two like, you know, like kind of like Cali hot girls hanging out with him.
Yeah.
He had this big white owl on his arm.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way. And then was like, oh my God, that's Jeff. Rolled in, talked to him. And he was kind of in some hard times when I was with him.
Yeah.
And I was basically like, all his money was in birds. He had nothing. He was kind of living on his van. And then.
Oh, wait, this guy said, Jason Stiston. I said, ornithologist.
I mean, it's the closest yet.
It's the closest yet. So maybe. See, what we're going to have to do is go back and. What's that? Oh, yeah, we're going to go back and look at
these.
We're
going to figure it out.
You know, this is live. We're just freestyling all this, so.
Anyways, this guy who I apprenticed, he went to Hollywood and then became the master birder. So all his birds are in, like, Harry Potter and, like, all.
What?
He's the bird guy.
He's a master birder.
He also actually, in the end of Muhammad Ali's career, actually beat him in the ring, too. Crazy
Wait,
story.
What? He's a boxer, too?
Yeah.
This guy's a master falconer and a boxer.
Yeah.
So he's basically the coolest guy in the world. That's gnarly. Okay. Just so you guys know, if we are missing some of these, we're going to go back, really scour these comments to make sure we're giving away these covers to the right answer. The feed, they're coming in so fast, it's hard to keep track of. Travis is a very popular guy.
Yeah, so this like... live show might be loose as shit, but guaranteed we're going to get it right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm giving this away.
Okay, so here we go. We have two more questions. What do we got here? Which one? How about? Okay, that's a funny story, actually. Okay, what was Travis's first major injury? And I'm just going to... Yeah, okay, so let's see.
It's not ornithology. And for what it's worth... It was when I was about, I think, 18.
Okay. Okay. For what it's... And... Oh, that doesn't work.
And it, it was not joint.
Okay, so knee, femur, elbow, knee. No. It wasn't a joint.
No, I got healthy joints, let's man. Just, joints are good.
Let's just eliminate joints. Let's see.
It's not heart.
I was 18. Heart attack! cardiovascular disease.
All right, we're gonna go. This, let's go a little deeper. It's not anything structural.
I overshot a jumping mammoth, and I got cardiovascular disease.
I actually don't suffer from half-ass disease.
You're like, oh, spleen, right there.
Boom. Who was it?
We missed it. The comments are going too fast.
Wait, here we go. No, we got this.
Can you? here.
Down, down, down.
That doesn't...
Anyways, yeah. Someone nailed spleen. Yeah, so...
Spleen. It was a spleen. Now, tell us the story. We'll go back and find the first person who said spleen. Tell us the story, because it's really funny.
Well, it was backside five and a jump.
Yep.
In the Mammoth Park. Big park, main park.
Oh, yeah.
Knuckled. Continued to rotate a little and ended up, like, just landing super hard. Caught my toe edge. Spanked myself. Went down. Did the park lap. Rode the park again. Winded. Halfway through the pipe, I was like... Oh God, started feeling lightheaded and I actually knew. I was like, oh, loss of blood.
Yep.
So anyways, ended up spending 7 days at Mammoth Hospital, intensive care. And dude, first time getting a catheter, this big, super like big mama, black nurse put it in. It was amazing. Just, oh God. And
just a tube down the pee hole.
Anyways, it was incredibly painful.
She's
and
like,
so,
look at how incredibly small these balls are.
But such high performance. Anyways, it was pretty painful. And so for the first day, you know, they were giving me Demerol, like straight Dr. D, you know, rubber band, teeth, like boom. And that was pretty amazing. It's a 17-year-old kid. It's like, okay, I guess this is cool because the doctor's giving it to me.
Right.
Anyways, 5 days later, I'd been calling in because it was painful and maybe not because it was painful.
Yep.
And getting Demerol shots for like 5 days straight, like every 3 hours. And the doctor comes in, sees the nurse administer it, and just loses his shit on her. Like drags her in the hall, just hear her yelling at her. And I'm like, what's the deal? And he comes in, he's like, you were only supposed to like be on that for the first 24 hours.
For 24 hours? And they gave it to you for 7 days?
About 5.5, 6 days. And so then I got taken off it. And then in Mammoth Hospital, just fully having to go through the shakes. What's it called? You know, when you get
withdrawals?
Like, yeah, withdrawals and like cold sweats and like little shakes. It sucked.
That is super gnarly.
It sucked.
So great story. You got a good story. You're like, oh, it's cooked up on heroin for a few days. The doctor was giving it to me. It's all good. Okay, so final question. This one, that was for the injury, which was spleen, which we will go back to the comments and find the correct person. Here we go. Last question. Do you want to do this one about the artist, or do you want to do like top three favorites?
Either way. Let's go artist, man.
Okay, so new favorite artist. Who is Travis's new favorite artist?
We're trying to make these questions
really tough. But
give you some hints. He's someone who has not necessarily been with a symbol yet. A symbol, by the way, is a gallery I have in Jackson. It's an online gallery. Check it out.
Or it's symbol.co. A drum set, a symbol.
A symbol, ASYMBOL. No, I've had a symbol for almost 7-8 years. We got a great team of people. It's basically a platform to help connect the appreciators and creators from some of the most talented image makers, photographers and artists kind of in our space. That's cool.
Let's see if we have any artists. Rihanna, Skrillex. Oh, so
Jamie Lynn is the shit. His art's amazing.
So are you talking about fine arts here, like drawing? Let's narrow it down. Are you talking about drawing, photography, or music?
This guy is an illustrator, to be more exact. He's a political cartoonist. Not so involved in actually the...
Is anyone going to get this? That's
I think someone's going to get it.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Close, but no cigar.
Yeah, Mikey Perillo, who's also an amazing artist I've worked with for years. Schofield, dude, he's a new artist on Assemble and also an incredibly badass. Dude, Schof stuff is amazing. Like, we have an original piece of Schof's in Assemble right now. It's amazing. Dude, right here, Tony Keller. Tony Keller got it.
Hondo Beard, shout out to Hondo.
Terry Keller.
Oh, you got it.
Eric Yonker.
Okay, Eric Yonker.
Terry Keller.
Good job, Mr. Keller.
Eric Yonker, if you haven't seen this guy's stuff, like go and look. He does the most amazing, beautiful, well thought out. I actually happen to have a project in the works with him that is coming out later this fall with LibTech. It may or may not be coming out perfectly aligned with the election. Keep your eye out. It is amazing, and it is so tack. It's spot on.
Awesome.
We'll see how this the election soap opera. It's kind of like, what is it? Telenova or tele?
Like Talanova, the
the great soaps, right?
Yeah.
Like for us, it's the election.
Right.
Like,
the Talanova of that's amazing.
Yeah.
So there we go. That was it. That was the final questions. Thank you guys so much. I mean, is there anything? We have a lot of viewers watching, a lot of fans. I know.
Let's
we
take
didn't
one
get,
last question.
One last question.
Let's, last
let's
question.
Just do it because
it's live.
Why not? Let's see. A lot of people are asking how many corks will accumulate in the film, Daniel Vega.
It's a good question. Maybe you could be the first one to count them.
There you go, Daniel Vega. First one to count all the corks. Do you ever want to hit the reset?
Hit the reset button mentally?
That's a good
question.
From
Wade Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time, man. You know, you get worked up and you go in a certain direction. You always need to be able to hit the reset button. And I think trying to get the reset button down to its simplest form, which would literally be taking a breath.
Yep.
Taking a breath. If you can reduce your reset button to just simply taking a breath. All right, where am I? Oh, Eddie's Wall.
Yeah, all right, here we are.
I think that's ideal.
Let's see. Tom Harrodin, Travis, will you please jump through the brick wall behind you and scream, oh yeah? The answer to that, I will answer, is no, because I've had to build that damn thing, and I am not going to rebuild it. Well, with the help of Gunson. Let's see.
This whole team.
What was, Justin Mayer's, what was the most stressful situation that you went through over the past 3 years? You know, maybe stressful filming days, or...
Well, look, I will say the most stressful situation... I mean, we go out to a lot of pretty raw places, and... You know, I think if anything, a testament to our approach in the backcountry is we went through our entire film and nobody was severely injured.
Yep.
Nothing more than bumps and bruises, both crew and all the riders that came away with us. So I think if anything, the most stressful situation is probably putting this thing together in post. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, in a sense.
Yep.
Because there's just so much that has to come together.
Okay, well, I think that's it. Again, you know, do you ever eat Taco Bell, Matthew Spiegel?
No, I don't eat Taco Bell.
What's the difference between a chickpea and a garbanzo bean, Sean McManus? I'm pretty sure they're the exact same thing. How many helicopters were you involved in during the shoot, Constantine?
Who invented peanut butter? Dude, oh, okay, sorry. Constantine, how many helicopters will fall in the chute? Two. I mean, sometimes, whatever. You got your heli that you're riding in, and then we have a film ship.
Okay. Perfect.
This one.
Kelly O'Sullivan. Last question. Who invented peanut butter?
It was, Roosevelt. It was one of our presidents.
Really?
Ben
Franklin.
Ben Franklin.
He wasn't president, though.
Shit. Sorry. It wasn't Ben Franklin.
Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson. Anyways, one of our presidents helped to crossbreed two different types of beans and literally created the peanut is not naturally occurring.
Whoa.
Crazy. It's an early genetic defect, which is why some say you shouldn't eat peanut butter. I don't abide by that.
Yeah. We'll call it not naturally occurring butter. Okay, well, I think that's it. Anything you want to say? We'll end it on that awesome, funny joke.
No, I mean, look, hey, it's a real pleasure to be here on Eddie's Wall. Truly, thank you. You are the voice of a generation. And yeah, thanks for keeping it entertaining. I mean, whatever. Yeah, the fourth phase, check it out. As you know, I mean, we've spent years working on this project. You know, between all the effort put in, really proud to just bring it out and show what we've been working on. And it's going to be coming out this October 2nd. Go to thefourthphase.com for more information on how to see it, because everyone's going to be able to simultaneously see it in the world.
Okay.
Same time.
Wow.
Yeah. Technology.
Okay. Well, Travis, thank you so much. You guys have been watching Eddie's Wall here at Transworld Snowboarding. And we're going to sign off with, of course, having you sign the wall behind us, which we've had every guest do so far. You're the first one with the white marker, though, so it's pretty special. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week for another live episode of Eddie's Wall.
Peace. So mine's the only one that's going to show up, you're saying?